What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. Still a little under the weather, but toughing it out. I gotta be here because it's a championship Tuesday. Get it? Gators. Championship, but it's a Gator, so it's a championship. Maybe that was kind of lame. You probably heard it out there already. I mean, it's the middle of the afternoon. You may have heard a lot of stuff. That's why I got to bring you unique things, and that certainly wasn't so unique. But if you're working in your office and your office has some Gators fans, yeah, they're probably already insufferable and you've wanted to leave for the last few hours because the bragging is not going to end. But you know what? They won the championship. So congratulations if you're a Florida Gator, and I know we got a lot of Gators in South Florida, not only the real ones, but the fans too. And being here as a sports talk host the day after a championship, any championship that a lot of people are watching, is something that I got to do. And I got to make people happy. Normally, I try to make everybody happy, not just in this audience, but also in person. I'm a happy guy. People ask me, what do you like most about, like, what's your goal in life? What do you like most about life? And I'm like, you know what? I like making people happy. I want to see smiles on people's faces, including my close friends on Instagram. When I post my wagers, I want to make them happy. I want us all to be happy. I want us all to win. Not only monetarily, but championships. Trust me, I want Miami Dolphins fans to be happy. If I asked a Dolphins fan right now, okay, Mr. Dolphins fan, hello, Miss Dolphins fan, what would make you guys happy as a Dolphins fan? I wonder what the answer would be. Normally, you ask a football fan that question, and they're going to say in the NFL, win the Super Bowl. But at this point with the Dolphins, would it be win a playoff game? Because now we're going on 25 years without a playoff victory. But hey, the Gators won last night, so let's just stick with that and forget about the Dolphins, at least for a little bit. Maybe you won your bracket pool. Maybe you won money on the Hard Rock app last night. Maybe you had a really good tournament. The NCAA tournament, March Madness, is a huge part of many people's lives. Setting many things aside, saying, honey, I'm busy. It's March Madness. I got a lot going on. Kind of like me, but I'm never saying, honey, I'm busy, because I don't need a honey next to me all the time. I mean, sometimes, yes. But when I want to watch a game, I mean, that's why I'm single. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to watch a championship game last night. I'm not going to have to say, hey, look, can you do this? We'll do this tomorrow. No, I don't want to deal with any of that. I want to watch a game. I'm going to watch a game. Some of you may have to watch a show last night. I have no idea. But hopefully you're happy. Because again, I want everyone to be happy. I will be happy when I return back to normal. You know, like voice-wise, congestion-wise, taking a bunch of medicines, and I'll be fine. But I want to be here and be like completely normal. So that's how I will be made happy. And of course, there's other ways too, but this is a family show. I've gotten plenty of messages in the past, emails. People have come up to me at sporting events and at the casino, even at the airport. Slater, hey, it's a pleasure to meet you. I love what you do. I love your show. My kid and I, we listen to you all the time on our way home from picking them up from school. And when I hear that, it's cool, and I thank you for that. But I think to myself, you know, yesterday I said this, and if the kid was listening, and I got Uncle Luke on this show every Tuesday, but thankfully, with technology, it's not that difficult to edit a few things. We have a bleep button, we have a delay, we have all sorts of things. So here it is, Tuesday. I'm going to be with you the rest of the week. I'll be with you all next week. And then, if you didn't hear what I said yesterday, I am taking my yearly vacation. I am going to Spain. I'm going to go to Barcelona for about a week or so. Then I'm going to hit up Madrid. I have not been there yet. And then I'm going to fly back from Madrid to Miami, but I'm stopping in Philadelphia, and I coordinated this. You might think I'm crazy, but I did this for a reason. I have a five and a half hour layover in Philadelphia, five and a half hours. Some of you would be like, why are you taking a layover? Layovers are terrible. I'd rather go on a nonstop flight. Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, when it comes to aviation and travel, I'm really good with selecting flights and prices and if I want to use miles and the best deals. I fly a lot, so I accumulate a lot of miles. I earn them by being in the air, and I got a great deal, like almost theft, in business class from Madrid to Philly, and then first from Philly to Miami. And the reason I'm taking that route and having that 5 to 5.5 hour layover in Philadelphia is because I'm going to leave the airport. I'm not checking in bags. A rookie does that. I got my carry-on and my backpack, and I'm leaving the airport, and I'm going to go to Angelo's to get multiple cheesesteaks, and I cannot wait. So while I'm leaving Spain in a few weeks, most people, you leave a vacation, you're like, this stinks. But I'm going to be thinking about how I'm going to Philadelphia, and I'm going to have time to leave the airport and go to Angelo's and get multiple cheesesteaks. And I say multiple cheesesteaks because I'm going to get three of them, maybe even four. You might be thinking, oh my gosh, what are you, nuts? Well, one, I'm going to eat immediately. That's a no-brainer. Number two, I'm going to have on the plane from Philadelphia to Miami because the flight leaves after 9 p.m., just after 9 p.m., and veteran travelers up front know that after 9 p.m., you do not get a meal. So I'm not going to be able to post hashtag airplane food. I'm going to be eating a cheesesteak on the plane. So I'll have one at about 4:30. I'll have one at about 9:30. Then what am I going to do with the other two? I'm going to have one the following day. It won't be as good, but I'll have it at home. And then the fourth one, I'll probably give to my mother. And that's why I'm going to get three or four cheesesteaks from Angelo's. They are the absolute best. The only time I've ever had it, it was 2 years ago when the Marlins made the postseason. I went to Philadelphia, and it was amazing. I went twice to Angelo's. You could look on YouTube, Google it. It is the absolute best. I'm almost as excited about leaving Madrid because I'm going to go to Philly to get the cheesesteak than I am to go to Madrid. But that'll be a lot of fun too. I'm going to play in a poker tournament. Going to go to a tennis tournament. Going to eat plenty over there too. Probably gain I don't know how much weight on the trip. Although last time I didn't. And they love bread over there. Pan de tomate with the little tomato on it. Oh my gosh, it's so good. All the food is so good. I love food. I love good food. And look, we all eat. I mean, I can sit here and talk about food for 45 minutes and you guys would be fine with that. Because all of you can relate to it. I'm not going to come on here and talk about the Golden Corral, though. I mean, come on. If some of you like that because it's cheap and it's all you can eat, go for it. But I'm not going there. Don't ask me to meet you there. You can, but I'm going to say, no, I'm good. You want to go to a buffet? Send me to the Legends Buffet at Yankee Stadium, or send me to the buffet on Sundays at the Hard Rock. That buffet is also amazing. It's a little pricey, but oof, so good. All right, that's what makes me happy. Good food makes me happy. I'm not a Gators fan, so I'm not like happy about that. I'm not mad, but got to like do something to drive my energy up right now. Besides the Celsius to my left, which I haven't even opened yet. I was disappointed. I opened yesterday and it didn't have that much carbonation in it. It was almost like flat. I don't know why. I'm not a fan of flat. Talking about, you know, carbonated drinks being flat. I like flat water, not sparkling water. Okay, I got many things to get to. The food show is over for now. I got real things to discuss, even though what I've been talking about is also real. But I can't get to anything that I've had planned until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I'm sure you heard a lot of Gators fans today saying, oh, what a game. Now, it was a close game. Doesn't mean it was a good game. Was it dramatic? Absolutely. Edge of your seat kind of basketball. That's what it was at the end. But does that mean it was good basketball? Not necessarily. The referees last night, they were strange. Look, I got no horse in the race. I didn't wager on the game. To me, we got Gators fans in South Florida. But I'm just watching the game. I'm a casual observer. It's a championship game. The first half, there's basically no foul calls, so it's like play on. And then the second half, it's whistle after whistle. No consistency. I don't know about you, but I like consistency. Just call it the same way the entire game. A lot of contact, a little contact. Just let everybody know how this game is going to be called. Instead, there was a dramatic pivot. The main thing I think the Gators deserve credit for is being resilient. They didn't quit. They were down double digits in the second half. Houston, they wanted to make the game like a rock fight. They wanted to slow the pace down. And for the most part, they accomplished that. The game was played at Houston's pace. The game was in their favor. But the reason the Florida Gators are champions today is because they never quit. And I always credit the head coach for that. Credit Todd Golden. Credit Walter Clayton Jr. Credit the FAU transfer, Martin. Credit the entire team. That last possession by Houston, it was so bad. Maybe that's why it felt like, yeah, it was a close game, but a bad one. I mean, the entire play, that was a cluster. Houston walks the ball up the court. They're wasting time. They had nobody going towards the basket. They were down two. They're one of the best rebounding teams in the country. They didn't even give themselves a chance to crash the glass. Didn't give themselves a chance to draw a foul. Nothing. The dude left his feet to pump fake, drop the ball. Time expired. I know Gators fans are going to watch that play forever and think, what a defensive stand. But you know, on this show, I'm always all about honesty. That last possession, it was trash. And it was more about Houston executing poorly than Florida doing something outrageous on D. But hey, at least the game was close. Congratulations to the Gators. You guys deserved it. Some of you didn't like this entire tournament because you like Cinderella stories. You like the underdogs, a team that no one's heard of before, making it to the Final Four. That didn't happen. It wasn't even close. We had four number one seeds in the Final Four. But I was fine with that because it led to three competitive games. And no matter how they won, there's no question the Gators are the best team in the country. They won the SEC. They won the Big Dance. They got a lot of banners to hang up. So they deserve it. They are undisputed number one. The problem with college sports for me now is the current landscape, which is we all watch the tournament. We saw some good games. Maybe you learned a few players who you had never heard of before the tournament started. But now I go online and all I see is transfer, portal, this, transfer. Like 10 minutes after the game ends, you got guys declaring for the draft, which I understand. And then you got guys who are going to get NIL money somewhere else, so they're leaving. When we next watch college basketball, and for most of us, that's probably next February, all these teams are going to look so different. As fans, we don't get to feel a certain way about anyone. No one is staying 4 years. If you're good, whether you love them or hate them, there's no more continuity in this game. The biggest stars of the game are gone after one season. The rising stars, they move on. There's no more Christian Laettner. I remember growing up watching UNLV year after year, and what a squad they had. You could follow them. Now you can't follow anything. Every single tournament, yeah, it's going to be exciting. You see some kids crying because they won or they lost. They say, we love our school. But then a booster from another school is going to raise their salary and they're gone. I love my school, but I can get paid more over here. And look, I want to be clear. I much prefer players to be paid. They should be paid. There's a $1 billion tournament going on. The sponsorships, the games around the country, the TV rights, so much money. And for players to not get anything out of that, it's morally wrong. So I'm 100% with players getting paid. But for the good of the fans, the ability for players to jump schools over and over every year, it just makes watching it and caring about it really hard. And if fans don't care, if they cannot form some sort of emotional attachment with the players being on a certain team, well, doesn't that kind of diminish sports? If the amount we care is less, that's not good. And the reason for that is because everyone is kind of like a rental. The players should get paid. They are the show. The problem is every single player, every single season is now a free agent. So what you saw in this tournament, you're not going to see in next year's tournament. You won't even recognize most of the teams. That's just the state of college sports, and it needs to be fixed. Maybe one of the solutions is, hey, you can get all the NIL money you want, but you become an employee of the school and you must sign a contract just like any other employee. What if it was said, you commit to a school, you can't transfer for 2 years. If you're ready to go pro, go ahead and go pro, but you can't just leapfrog schools and play immediately. Because that just takes away the enjoyment of the game. You had Walter Clayton Jr. before the tournament. I don't know where he was in mock drafts, but now he's a lottery pick. He's got a Devin Booker game to him. Straight up bucket getter. You know, there's an example of a guy who went to Iona. He was there for a year or two. And then, all right, I'm going to Florida. And look, it was a great move for him. Look at what just happened. And he won a national championship, and he's going to be a lottery pick. I'm not saying it doesn't work out for the players, but I'm talking about from a viewership standpoint. How cool would it be? And they're not doing it for us. I totally understand it. But how cool would it be to see a player like we used to see back in the day, multiple players, and use Walter Clayton Jr. as an example here, play 4 years or 3 years at one university. A lot of times these tournaments, they'll feature a player that we really didn't even know much about. And then the next thing you know, they're a top pick in the NBA draft. And good for them. Look at D. Wade. I mean, D. Wade, the reason he caught Pat Riley's eye, it was the big dance. He had that monster game against Riley's alma mater, Kentucky, and the rest is history. If Wade didn't have that spotlight in the big dance, his coming out party as a player, I don't know if he would have been drafted like he was. I'm talking about all of this winning. My team's not the Gators, so, I mean, I'm not celebrating a win, but I do want to celebrate a win a week from tonight. $50,000 guaranteed in the prize pool for the next Slater Scoops Poker Tournament at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. 50 grand guaranteed. That is the biggest one we've had yet. You do not want to miss this. It's only $250 to buy into my tournament. It's next Tuesday night. That's April 15th. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. You got until 9:30 p.m. to get there, register, and sit down at the table. $50,000 minimum up for grabs, $250 to buy in. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament next Tuesday night, April 15th, in the Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I was really happy a year ago when the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup. I couldn't believe it. I never thought it would happen. I was a Panthers season ticket holder for so many years, still go to so many Panthers games, and for them to finally win the Stanley Cup, they made it back-to-back seasons to the Cup final. It was just incredible. And then this season, seeing the banner go to the rafters, incredible. Is it going to happen again? Are they going to go for the third consecutive year to the Stanley Cup final? Well, if you look at them right now, they have lost five in a row. Nobody feels really nervous about it. Paul Maurice said, hey, we're just resting guys up, getting them healthy. If a guy's banged up, we're going to sit him. It's like home ice is nice and it's great to play for that. But for us, getting healthy, that's the key. Matthew Tkachuk, I hope he's back for round one. He's going to have to adapt pretty quickly to what's going on. You're not just stepping onto the ice and playing hockey. You'd be stepping onto the ice and playing playoff hockey, which is a whole different level. But he's used to that. Maybe not so much going from zero to that, but he's used to it. They just got to have him back. And the other thing with the Panthers, now they are the defending Stanley Cup champs. We know they were in the Cup final the year before too, and then they won it. And now everybody's going to be gunning for him. You want to knock out the defending Stanley Cup champs. Everybody wants to be the team to pick them off. So if the Panthers come limping into the playoffs after letting the last 10 to 15 games go and just saying, eh, whatever, as long as we get in, I hope that's going to play out as the right strategy. Sleepwalk to the finish, get healthy, and then turn it on. I'll trust Paul Maurice. There's a lot of ways to win. Paul Maurice, he knows the types of injuries he's dealing with. So does Bill Zito, the GM. If they're healthy and they got fresh legs and everyone else is a bit banged up more than they are, all right, go for it. Do what you got to do. If there's any head coach and GM that have earned collectively the trust of the fan base in South Florida, it's got to be Bill Zito and Paul Maurice. Those two, they delivered the most recent parade. A lot of you probably saw the news earlier today. I think it happened around 1:30 this afternoon. The Denver Nuggets, they fire Mike Malone, and they also fire their GM. And I see comments coming in, do Spo next. Look, the way some teams are firing their head coaches just before playoff time, and they've got pretty good records, it's unbelievable. Memphis did it. Now Denver did it. I don't think Pat Riley's firing Spo. I doubt that's going to happen. But you never know. At least the Miami Heat picked up a W last night. They were playing the 76ers, who are horrible, and they're tanking and their stars are out. But still, they won. And they got to cheer against the Bulls this evening. If Chicago loses, well, then that game tomorrow basically becomes a showdown for the ninth seed. Whoever wins between the Heat and the Bulls would pretty much lock it up. And they would host the first play-in game, the game that would determine one team getting completely knocked out, the other team would move on and play on the road. I don't think this Heat team's going to be standing up and making a lot of noise come playoff time if they do get in past the play-in tournament. But at the same time, I also don't think Pat Riley and Mickey Arison are going to go the route that winning teams are going now and firing their coaches. Uncle Luke, Luther Campbell, he's going to join us on a Luke Tuesday next. Here on this Tuesday, Uncle Luke, Luther Campbell with us on the Andy Slater Show because it is a Luke Tuesday. Luke, what do you have to say this afternoon to Gators fans?
I'm a Gator hater. I'm a Gator hater. Hating Gators all day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but I was rooting for the Gators. You know, I'm a representative of the state of Florida. So if the last two teams standing, one of them is the Florida team, I got to support them. So, you know, congratulations to all the Gators.
Rooting for the Gators in basketball has nothing to do with football, correct? Because I know some people will be like, oh, well, he always likes the Gators.
No, I don't like the Gators. I don't like anybody but University of Miami. I like University of Miami and Florida A&M Agriculture, highest of the seven hills.
So what do you suggest Gators students and fans should be doing this afternoon and tonight to celebrate?
Intoxicated, doing everything.
Without driving, of course.
Without driving. Anything you remotely can imagine that you want to do that you probably wouldn't do on a regular day, do it today and then put it in your memory banks. This is what you did on this day when your team flew in and you guys just won the national championship, because you probably won't do it again for another 100 years.
You say that, Luke, and I mean, you could be right. I don't know about the 100-year part. But the way the NIL is going, a lot of people believe, and I know we've talked about this before, you're not going to see any consistency in college sports, and there should be a change. I was talking about that earlier. What do you think?
You're not going to see any consistency in change?
Well,
yes, you are.
No, you're going to see consistency. You're not going to see consistency because you're going to see change.
Yeah, you're going to see change. You're going to see parity. You know, but again, you got imbeciles that are running teams. When you look at the Gators team, every one of those guys were no stars. The starting point guard was a diehard Hurricane. His dad is diehard Hurricane, four-star football player. Miami did not recruit him, did not even give him a tryout. You know, so the line quitting basketball coach who does the podcast is, you know, he sits there, and I wonder how he explains that. You know, all those guys had no stars. So when you look at what you're talking about when it comes to NIL and basketball, it's going to be the oldest team win. You know, the guys who normally should be in the G League, who possibly can't make the G League, but they're right there as great players, you know, at 25 and 26 years old, that's what you're going to get in college basketball.
Do you not think, Luke, and this isn't just for college basketball, but also for football or any sport, that if you're going to switch schools, you got to, like, sign, let's say, a two-year contract?
No, if you're going to switch your job right now, you need to sign a contract. If you're switching from one radio station to the next, unless they're paying you big money, These guys are on a 1 year with a 1 year option contract. I know it because I got players in the NCAA right now. They're not on a guaranteed 4 year contract, just like it never was a guaranteed 4 year scholarship. It was always a 1 year to 1 year option, whether or not your scholarship ends. So it has to be in line with what the universities are offering as far as scholarships, because there are still student athletes.
But you don't feel that college sports right now, Luke, is just sort of a free-for-all, go wherever you want every single year, change schools?
It definitely is, and it hurts what I do on a daily basis. I coach high school football at Miami Edison Senior High, great school, A school, by the way, one of the A schools in Miami-Dade County. But at the same time, Andy, it hurts. It hurts that. It hurts all the kids. You know, I feel for all these kids, whether they're playing baseball, basketball, or football. You know, when it's time for you to get on the phone and start calling some Power Five schools, if the kid is not highly ranked, highly rated, then it's going to be, he's going to probably have to end up going to JUCO, which they just changed the rules of JUCO. It don't count against your years in regular college. So you either go to JUCO or you go mid-major, work your way up. You know, you see a lot of those different things like that. And that's what you saw with this team from the Gators. All those guys were no stars. They came from working their way up far beyond D3 schools to be able to just work their way up through the ranks. And that's why you always have older teams when it comes to basketball. You know, guys, you know, those guys probably old enough to be some of those students at Florida Daddy.
So you're saying with the NIL, it's going to hurt high school players who are not top ranked?
Oh, it definitely is. It hurts them, I mean, every year. Right now it's more difficult. When I used to get 90 to 95% of my kids in college and, you know, major D1s, Power 5 schools on a regular basis, now I'm getting maybe 20%. Most of my kids either have to go to JUCO that would normally go to D1 programs, because the D1 programs like the FAU and the FIUs of the world, they want transfer portal guys that may have dropped down to them. These guys want junior college people. They don't even want those kids. So then it backs up all these young men, you know, and going, you know, to, you know, going the longer route. You know, that's why. Again, go ahead.
So wouldn't that make what's going on in college sports right now a problem that needs to be fixed? And if so, how do you fix it?
It is the problem.
So how do you fix it?
How do you fix it? What you do is you put restrictions on, you know, you put restrictions on the amount of times that you can transfer. So you shouldn't be able to transfer every year. You should have to go and stay at a school for 2 years. That would limit the amount of transfers that schools are bringing in. But it's a bigger issue because, for instance, Mario Cristobal could tell a kid, I'm not renewing your scholarship. He has to transfer. So it's not just the kids who are transferring to places. College coaches are putting kids in the transfer portal. Unlike the NFL, when a guy get put on waivers by a team, we all know about it. And the NCAA, no. They assume that all kids are jumping in the portal, cutting and running, you know, quitting on the team. That's not the case 70% of the time. The coach comes, knock on the door, and basically say you're cut from this college team. You got to find someplace else. They need to create a system where when those kids get cut by the school, then you know it. The school has to report the kids that they cut. You know, so that's one part of the situation. It can be fixed, but it's bananas right now.
You're a high school football coach. You work with a lot of kids, and you have in Liberty City throughout almost your entire life.
Correct.
Would you rather have it the way it is now, where it's a mess but players are getting paid? Or would you rather go back to the way it was before, where they're not getting paid?
I prefer the kids getting paid, but put restrictions on transfer portal. You know, I love the fact that these kids can profit off their name, image, and likeness, because for the life of me, guys, you know, they're selling, you know, all these games and they're selling these jerseys and none of these kids are able to profit off of that. That's insane to me. So I like the fact that they get paid off their name, image, and likeness. But what I don't like is the fact that the NCAA continuously changes rules to hurt high school players like the transfer portal. You know, they can easily get that right. You know, yes, a kid should be able to transfer. You know, if a school puts a kid in the portal, then that school should have to get a high school player. If you do that, then now you reactivate the high school system. Then that makes the coach at that school has to think about whether or not he's going to develop this player. He's getting ready to throw in the portal. There are a lot of different things that they could do to solve this portal issue that's directly affecting high school players. I had a kid that got put in the portal at University of South Florida this year. I then, as the high school coach, because the kids have no representation, nobody's supporting them, I have to, as the high school coach, go find him a school. So I found him a school at FAU. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, all high school coaches don't have the time that I have to be able to do this. These guys got classes. These guys are making $30,000 a year. They got their own families. They can't sit here and get on the phone and navigate the phones and get these kids in the different colleges and things. A lot of these kids are left out on the streets, you know, fending for themselves with no education. So it's beyond sickening what the NCAA did. I guess they said, okay, y'all want to get paid, so we're just going to let y'all get paid and turn it into a free fall.
Luke, what about from a viewership standpoint? Again, Uncle Luke Luther Campbell with us here on a Luke Tuesday. Like, personally, I used to watch a ton of college sports because I knew who the players were and they were there, you know, 2-3 years in a row. And now it's okay here and then there and then somewhere else. So from a viewing standpoint, do you enjoy college sports as much as you used to?
From a viewer standpoint?
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but in all reality, those are not players who went to your university. There's no reason in a real world, those are professional players playing for your university. So you're getting excited at the University of Florida today for some guys who came to your school for less than 6 months. They are not students of the University of Florida, University of Miami, Florida State, Alabama, all these places. Only place that does it still the old school way is the University of Clemson, Dabo Sweeney. He refused to do this portal thing. He refused to be paying players. He still does it the organic way.
So Cam Ward, in your estimation, he's not like a true Kane.
No. He didn't go to University of Miami all 4 years. He never was recruited by the school. He didn't have blood, sweat, and tears on Green Tree. No.
But he helped out the university big time.
Well, get 10 wins? Did we win a natty?
Well, no. That's not his fault. I mean, that's the head coach.
Of course, horrible in-game coaching. We do know that. But he's not. I mean, people can live in the make-believe world and get all jacked up and say, oh, Cam Ward, I'm number one, University of Miami. He doesn't go down in the same book as Bernie Kosar or Jim Kelly or any of those guys who got drafted, went on to the NFL and did great things. Edgerrin James, you know, Warren Sapp, he doesn't fall in that category. He's a mercenary. He came in, did a hit job, and, you know, got drafted and, you know, and used the university, which is fine. We used them too, to put us in a position to win 10 games, save Mario's job, and hopefully try to win a natty, but that's not the case.
And now Carson Beck is supposed to do the same type of job.
Another mercenary, yeah. Another hitman.
I don't know.
Coming to do a hit job.
Be anything near Cam Ward. Hey, one more football thing for you, Uncle Luke, with the Miami Dolphins. Teron Armstead retiring, announcing it this past weekend. What do you think that does as far as leadership goes? You have Calais Campbell gone now. Teron Armstead is gone. How do you think the Miami Dolphins are going to handle that?
It's horrible. I mean, it tells you it's a toxic environment over there. They need to fix it, you know, from the front office on down to the coaching. I said it when I saw Mike McDaniels check in, I was like, he does not look like a leader of men. Those dudes in there are going to run him over, you know, because, you know, look at this guy. You think he's, you know, you look for Luke Rockney, you look for a grown man to be like, hey, look, this is what we doing and how we doing it. That dude is trying to be like one of them, and he's younger than them, and they were not going to have any respect for him. So now you got to lean on veterans, you know, like Armstead, you know, like Calais Campbell to run the team. And now you got Tyreek Hill. I would trade his ass right now. I would trade him to Jacksonville and go get me an offensive lineman because he's the toxic person that's in your organization. When you eliminate the balance, the balance left and balance retired. Now you are led by a guy who just shows up to practice when he wants to practice and all the time he wants to tweet talking about he wants to leave. No, no.
So you think Tyreek,
major problem.
Tyreek staying on the Dolphins, he's gonna have to be the one to take over for Armstead and Calais Campbell being the leader in that locker room, and you don't see it happening. Yeah,
and that ain't happening. You having a diva lead your locker room? Oh, really? I mean, it's like Jimmy Butler leading your locker room? No, not happening. You know, not happening. Antonio Brown, your leader? That's what you got in Tyreek Hill. You know, I love the dude game. Like him, I'm okay with him, but when it comes to leadership, you know, he is far beyond that. He is not a leader. He does not conduct himself like a leader on the field and off the field. You know what I'm saying? Is that the guy you want to lead your team? No way. He's going to work hard. When he practices, he works his ass off. But when it comes to, you know, everything outside of that, no.
Uncle no. Luke Luther Campbell, you could check him out on YouTube. He's got the Luke Show all over social media as well. And you can find him here every Tuesday for Luke Tuesday. Luke, it's always good talking to you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week.
Hey, man, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Also, Andy, and I'll be happy when you invite me over to Colombia because I need Colombian women in my life. I'm now officially single.
Ooh.
I just dumped my other girlfriend, and so I'm ready to go to Colombia. Colombia!
I'm going to set you up.
Yes.
I'll set him up. I'll show him the places to go and the people to see. All right, that's all the time I got for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.